Welcome back to the Dapper Dividends podcast. I am your host, Russ, and I will be Russ for the remainder of this Right Yeah podcast episode, where we're going to come into your ear holes for about 30 minutes or so. So I thank you so very much for your listenership in this silly little podcast I do, where I get to talk to you about dividend investing. And I'm trying to become a better dividend investor and sharing some of the things I'm learning, experiencing, doing on the fly in real time with you to help you become a better dividend investor. That's right, you, Sean, and Harris, and Mike, and Jim, and all those other common names I can't. UC, if we have a UC, there's a lot of hockey players I used to grow up watching from Finland. I don't know, this podcast is heard worldwide, so that's why we say often imitated, never duplicated. Who's imitating it? I don't know, but it just sounds like a good, fun thing to say. So we're going to go ahead, make that claim. And it's up to you to refute the claims that I make. That's probably how this is going to work. So the latter half of this podcast is going to be the video that I drop. I'll have a link in the description for below. I found 10 dividend stocks that have a price to sales of less than one. So all that means is currently you will be paying less than $1 for every $1 of sales that a company is earning right now. Or making, not necessarily earning. They're making it. Earnings is a different thing. We've located 10 of them that have a high insider ownership. And as you'll hear me say, like, why is good insider ownership good? Well, they have skin in the game. We want management that, yes, not solely just focused on the shareholders, but when a manager or management or CEO has a lot of stock in the company that they run that we own with them, right? Because when we are giving money, when we're buying a stock, we're entrusting that management team will continue to grow our wealth, make good decisions, make that stock more valuable. And that's the name of the game. That's all that it is. And the ones that don't, well, we're going to lose money because people aren't going to sell. It's just an auction. It's like one big giant ass eBay out there all week long, Monday through Friday, not counting holidays and when the markets close, but that's all it is. Buying and selling. You have a bidder and you have a seller, and that's all that it is. And the beauty of it is you don't have to sell if you don't want to. You could just sit tight. You know, it's kind of like Warren Buffett said, well, I was going to like first name, right? I was just going to leave it at Warren. I don't know. We probably got some new listeners and people might be like, who's Warren? So Warren Buffett is like, he's said that you got to buy stuff that's in your circle of competence. Don't try to get cute and fancy and do something that's not in your circle of competence. Like he says, they won't expand their circle. They'll just sit tight and wait. And it's not like baseball. You don't get three strikes. Dude, you could get a million pitches and you do not have to swing that bat. You just swing that bat when you want to, when it looks good. Which brings me to another thought, is that little bit of breaking news, everybody, that nobody knows the future. What everybody does know is numbers. So whenever you see any kind of accounting number, anything in a financial report, any number that anyone is reporting, that is information that everybody has. But the most important information that nobody has, it's what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen in the future. We all have guesses, we all have thoughts, but as far as I'm aware, right now, there's not one person anywhere that knows what is going to happen tomorrow. So I think that is just so really cool. And the point of that statement is that the most valuable information is what is not in the numbers, because we've seen businesses that look like they were flying high, doing well, then they fail. Blockbuster Video was dominant and they went under. Enron looked like a fantastic business. I think it was the year before, I should have had this information, but the year before Enron went kablooey and all the shenanigans happened, I think their CEO was on the cover of like the Fortune 500 or anyway, they were a company that was lauded as being this wonderful, magnificent company, which also I believe paid a dividend. And then it all fell apart. We've seen businesses like Amazon, where people thought they were losing money, they were going to go under, but what they were really doing was plowing a lot of cash into research and development to keep trying to grow that business. And a lot of people missed that fact. They just looked at the numbers and said, eh, not doing so well. The earnings aren't that great. But if they would have plowed everything not so hard into research and development, their earnings would have looked a lot different. The point of it is that nobody knows what's going to happen. So just remember that. dear dividend investing listener, that the most important information is what nobody has, which makes it so exciting and interesting. And I was telling my wife, because today's Sunday, football was on. Won't get into the details, but I get caught up in reading kind of like with the herd. I experienced this too, where in the morning, you know, I'm looking at players and things, and there's a moral to this. So stick with me, even if you don't like sports, this will translate to dividend investing and the stock market and finance. Exactly. So there's people that watch football. They live, breathe, eat, sleep, crap football 24/7. That's all that they do. And then they give their opinion on certain games, on certain players, on things that are going to happen. And you know what? Sometimes it does happen, but other times it doesn't happen. It's completely the opposite of what they said they think is going to happen. So that is just what makes life, sports, investing, relationships, friendships. Nobody knows what's going to happen. So that makes things interesting, because if everybody knew, if I read a financial report or an analyst and they said, I think this company is going to do this, and then it happened verbatim every single time, it would A, be boring, B, there would be no surprise, and things would lose their valuation because everybody would know exactly to the penny what everything was valued at. There would be no deals. And Morgan Housel talks about this, I guess, in his new book, which I want to read too. But oh, in the newsletter, if you don't get that, go to dapperdividends.com and check that out. But I touched on that. There's things that will never change. There's human behavior that doesn't change. And one of the things with human behavior is that we always want what's new. New. We sometimes get caught up in quantity over quality. But there's a saying out there that says you shouldn't try to read as many books as possible. You should try to read the right books. And as I kind of detailed out in the newsletter, dude, as we grow older, we have new experiences, new knowledge, new perspectives. We grow as human beings. So we're not thinking as we did a year ago, 5 years ago, when we may have consumed some of these books and this information. So I'm finding it really cool to go back to some of the good books. So I'm rereading 100 Baggers and How to Find Them by Chris Mayer. And I've caught a lot of stuff that I missed for whatever reason. I was going fast, I was preoccupied. But you know, that's something that you should think about. Is there been any great book that you read in the past? Read it again, because you are, well, I hope you're smarter and wiser. That could be debatable, dear dividend investing listener, but we'll just say, generally speaking, about people, that the older you get, the wiser you get. So you are in a different place psychologically than you were several years ago or several months, whatever it may be. And there could be some benefit in that. And then we talked about what we bought. I've been peeling off shares of Celanese. Not a bad company, but what I'm looking at is kind of like, as he talked about in the book, John Maynard Keynes went from being over-diversified into trying to pick businesses that were different from each other, but the best of the best, and going hard into those instead of owning, you know, 100 different stocks. And, you know, like Warren Buffett says, that's just that's a diversification against ignorance. And he says, there's nothing wrong with it. If you don't know how to research a stock or how to value a business, and this is something I'm learning too, and you don't know how to do that, just hit the easy button. Buy a low-cost, broad-based index fund like an SPY, well, probably VOO. I think Vanguard is going to have the lowest fees out of that. But we always say, you know, SPY, it's just, you know, the S&P 500 ETF from S&P Global, maybe. Either way, so sold some Celanese down to 10 shares. We sold 3 shares at $116. Rolled that into 2 more shares of Johnson & Johnson at $148.58 average, and 1 more share of Nexstar Media, ticker NXST, which, by the way, everybody, they are really, really, it's fun to watch what they're doing with the CW. They received a 75% stake in the CW, essentially absorbing the debt that they had, and they didn't pay any cash for it. So they're really trying to turn it around. They had a lot of contractual shows that were like the teen shows and superhero shows, which those had to run their course from contract and expire. So they let those roll off the books, and they're adding a lot of sports. So they have the WWE Next. It's like the minor leagues for WWE. So they got that coming up. They got LIV Golf, NASCAR, ACC, college football and basketball. So they're really trying to ramp up the live sports aspect of that, because when you have live sports, more people tune in for that because of the unscriptedness. People want to be surprised. From what I've read through broadcast, over broadcast, you get the best signals and the clearest signals. And just because of the unscriptedness of live sports, more people are willing to watch that on broadcast. So bringing a lot of this to the CW, trying to grow it from there. And when you have more eyeballs on the product, you can sell higher ad space. You can get more money as the broadcaster. So really fun. I'm really impressed with Nexstar Media. There's some people that think it's a melting ice cube because, yeah, yes, legacy cable is shedding lots and lots of subscribers. I think I saw about 200,000, maybe more a month. But hey, you know, or a quarter. Yeah, I think it was a quarter. Either way, very interesting to watch. Oh, and now, dear Dividend Investing listener, real quick, check out these words from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you get the Wisconsin Dells ad like I do? Probably if you're in the Midwest, you do, somewhere around the Chicago region. You know, I really do appreciate you guys listening, and I'm going to roll. I feel like, and now the king of cartoons. What did Austin Powers say? Allow myself to introduce myself. So that's what I'm doing. I'm introducing myself. Now, these are 10 dividend stocks, as you'll hear, that have high insider ownership and we think are trading at a good price right now. So check it out. Drop me a line, russ@dapperdividends.com. Follow me on Twitter, X, RustyRam78. And I love you. I thank you so very much for listening. And don't be shy to say hello. We like it when you say hello. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Hi there. When we use our money to buy stock, as shareholders, we're entrusting management to grow our investment for us, right? So we would hope that they'll ultimately do what's in the best interest of the shareholders, but that's not always the case. The man, the myth, the legend, the Oracle of Omaha, Warren Buffett, has most of his net worth wrapped up in Berkshire Hathaway stock. So yeah, he's management, but he's also got a lot of skin in the game as a shareholder as well. So that got me thinking, which I assure you did not hurt, about what are some businesses that have a good amount of insider ownership or management with skin in the game of their own stock. I used finviz.com to run a screen and look for businesses that had at least 20% insider ownership, a price to sales of under one, which means that you're paying less than a dollar for every $1 of a business's sales, and a price to free cash flow of under 10. And that price to free cash flow ratio shows us how much we are paying for a business's free cash flow, which if it had a price to free cash flow ratio of 5.99 would mean that we're paying about $5.99 in stock for every $1 of a company's free cash flow. So I have for you 10 such businesses, which you may find interesting of a deeper look-see, whatever that means to you. And remember, dear dividend investing viewer, this is just for fun and entertainment, and you should never take financial advice from a welder on YouTube. By the way, my name is Russ. It's so very nice to meet you. And here we have the spreadsheet where in the description below, there is a link for free. And remember, if you want to check out what we've got going on in the portfolios, click the link below for dapperdividends.com, where you can also sign up for the free weekly newsletter and keep track of everything we bought, sold, dividends received, and some other useful information to help you become a better dividend investor. So the first company is LyondellBasell, which takes oil and natural gas and turns them into materials used in everyday things like packaging, clothes, and cars. If you hover over the ticker symbol, it will take you to the LyondellBasell or whatever company you're going to see seeking alpha page. And if you hover over the name, it will take you to the investor relation page for that business. Insider ownership, 20%. Price to free cash flow, 8.64. Price to sales, 0.74. For LyondellBasell, if you were to buy them here, you're paying 74 cents for every $1 dollar of their sales currently, which is definitely a nice discount. Return on invested capital, the ROIC, all that means is what kind of return is management getting out of all the capital available to the business, whether it's from debt or equity. Return on equity, this is the return on the shareholders' equity. And with the ROIC and the ROE, we'd like to see these the higher the better. So mid-teens and above is really, really solid. And then I have for you their 10-year average on these, which for LyondellBasell is 45%. Net debt can get businesses into trouble, so the lower the net debt, the better, 44%. The ICR, a lot of you don't know what this is. It's the interest coverage ratio. It means how many dollars of operating income do they have to cover every $1 of interest expense. This number, we want to see the higher the better, 8.04. So they have $8.04 of operating income available to cover every $1 of interest expense, easily able to cover that. Then the shares outstanding, 5-year CAGR, meaning are they buying back shares? So here we see they've reduced their shares outstanding by 3.4% on average over the last 5 years. We want to see the free cash flow per share, 5-year CAGR. That number is how much they are growing year after year over the last five, the free cash flow per share. So hey, about 5%, pretty nice. And a couple last numbers for you here. The free cash flow payout ratio, trailing 12 month, 45%. That number, the lower the better. So that's nice and low for LyondellBasell. Now, the free cash flow yield, we've covered this in another video. It's kind of an interesting way to think about the risk you want to take for investing in a business, because all equities are risky. And if you invest in something like a 10-year treasury that has a free cash flow yield of about 4.5% right now, that money is guaranteed, but there's no chance for the underlying principal to grow. Where within a stock or an equity, you can have a much bigger chance at return, but there's also risk. So for these companies, when you see a free cash flow yield, that is a nice 12% return that you can be getting right now with the LyondellBasell. Then we have the dividend yield and the dividend growth 5-year CAGR. And then what they do is the last thing that we have for you. Number 9, we have Dick's Sporting Goods, which sells sports equipment, clothes, and accessories, mostly here in the United States, online, and through their stores. 29% insider ownership. We are going to go very fast from here on out. So if you would like to check these out a little bit more in depth, click the free spreadsheet link in the description. Price to sales, 0.76. Dick's has been reducing their shares outstanding by 1.61% over the last 5 years. Dividend yield of 3.55% and also a free cash flow yield of 12%. But their net debt is a little bit higher at 47%. Number 8, Movado Group, which designs, makes, and sells watches like Movado, Coach, and Tommy Hilfiger. 32%. Of the insiders own this stock. Price to sales of 0.86. Not as impressive of a return on equity 10-year average, but still not too shabby, pushing 10%. But also, check it out, Movado Group has no net debt, and they have slightly been buying back shares. And look at that number. I love this. They have $161 of operating income to easily cover every $1 of interest expense. And hey, you can get a 5.09% yield on that stock right now and lock it in. And lastly, they've been growing that dividend at a 22% 5-year CAGR. Number 7, Worthington Industries, ticker WOR. They make stuff from steel like propane cylinders and tanks for things like water and fuel. 38% insider ownership. Price to free cash, 6.22. Price to sales, 0.67. 16% net debt. They've been buying back those shares at a 3.4% clip on average over the last 5 years. A smaller dividend yield of 2%, but they've been growing it at 8% over the last 5 years. But they are a steel industry company, so keep that in mind that they may be tied to commodities. Number 6, Dillard's, ticker DDS. They run department stores and sell a variety of products like clothing, cosmetics, home furnishings, and they also do construction work. Dillard's is a really interesting story because Dillard's insider ownership, 49%, paying 70 cents for every $1 of Dillard's sales. Look at that massive return on equity lately, 51%, 20% 10-year average. They have no net debt. They've been buying back shares though. This is a very interesting story at a clip of 9%. Almost 10% every year for the last 5 years. Look at this, how crazy this is. We're watching a business that's essentially taken themselves private as they just keep buying back shares like mad people. And their free cash flow per share, 46% five-year CAGR, but you're not going to buy them just for the dividend because it's a yield of only 0.34%. But they do have a nice 19% five-year CAGR. At number five, did you guess it was Guess, which designs and sells clothes and accessories for men, women, and kids like jeans, dresses, and handbags? And their ticker symbol is GES. The insiders own 50%, 0.45 price to sales. You like Guess? You like this clothing? Hey, right now you'd only be paying less than 50 cents for every $1 of their sales. They do have a bit of debt though, 65%. The free cash flow per share, five-year CAGR, 228%, but check out why. It's because when we started counting from 2019, they had negative 33 cents, so it's a little bit skewed. Their free cash flow payout ratio, 37%, not as good as Dillard's at 1%, but that dividend yield for clothing, 5.32%, and they have 0% five-year growth. Number four is GREF, ticker GEF, which makes and sells packaging products like containers and boxes, and they also manage land for timber production in the southeastern United States. The insiders own 57% of the stock. Price to sales, only 69 cents. The return on equity, 10-year average is 14%, which is really nice. So the last trailing 12 months has been a little bit higher at 22%. Not as good as Dillard's though. Coming back to Dillard's. 20% 10-year average and 51% trailing 12-month. GREF slightly buying back shares, negative 0.13%. They've been reducing those, but they have been growing that free cash flow per share over the last 5 years on average at 39%, and they have a dividend yield of almost 3.2%. Number three, we've got Hamilton Beach Brands, ticker HBB, which makes and sells kitchen appliances like air fryers, blenders, coffee makers, and air purifiers. The insiders own 57% of the stock. Price to free cash, only 1.74, and price to sales, 0.29. Return on equity, they don't have a 10-year average. I could only get 7 years of data, but it's still 33%, which is nice. 43% net debt. Their shares outstanding, though, they have increased, so they've diluted shareholders, 43%, but not to worry, because their free cash flow per share on average over the last 5 years has gone up 84%. So making good use of those extra shares that they're diluting us with, and a free cash flow yield of 57%. But that is a little bit skewed because check it out. They were at negative 41 cents of free cash flow per share in 2022. Now they're at 731. So this is a little bit high. And a dividend yield of 3.46%, but a five-year CAGR of 37%. Number two, we've got Marine Products, ticker MPX, which makes and sells fiberglass power boats for sports and fishing like Chaparro and Robalo. The insiders own 69% of the stock, 0.77 price to sales. Look at the return on equity, trailing 12 months, 36%. The 10-year average, 26%. That is fantastic. They have no net debt and an interest coverage ratio of $711. Slightly buying back shares, 36% free cash flow payout ratio and a dividend yield of 5.93 and a five-year CAGR of 11%. So MPX looks interesting, but if we hit a really hard recession, I don't know how many people will be out there buying their power boats. And then number one, ticker LENB, Lenby, it's Lennar Corporation, which builds homes in the United States, selling single family houses, and they offer services like mortgage financing and property development. We're the insiders. I don't know, there's not much left around for any of us, but they own 96% of the shares outstanding according to finviz.com. They have a price to sales of 0.96, return on equity 10-year average 15%. They have no net debt, just like Marine Products. They've been buying back shares slightly at 1.6% on average over the last 5 years, but growing that free cash flow per share at 29%. Just a super low free cash flow payout ratio of 8%, but that dividend yield, of course, is a little bit small at 1.33%, but they have a five-year CAGR of 57% for Lennar. Let us know in the comments below if you own any of these or if you think any of them look interesting. And our dividend millionaire investor friend Sean Androff came back on the channel recently to talk about the 10 dividend stocks that he has recently been buying. Talk about skin in the game. Click this little floating box next to my head, and if you do that, I will talk to you there.